Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
All right, welcome back. I have in studio with me Jim Etzel, CEO, Sport Oregon. He's done a terrific job, and I'm not just saying that because you're here. I just think since you've been involved, Jim, Sport Oregon has really got its feet underneath it and has momentum. You feel like you have momentum?
I do. Despite everything we've experienced the last 16 months, it actually allowed us to, we were building the plane while we were flying it, and it allowed us to catch up on some foundational elements, and I think we've had real growth this year.
I talk a lot with, you know, Chris McGowan of the Trailblazers, Mike Golub over at the Timbers, KL Wambacher with the Hops. They all come back to kind of Jim Etzel being the glue of things. How did that work? Pandemic hits. All of these entities have problems that there's a lot of overlap with. How did you get involved in sort of making it everyone come together and have discussions?
Well, once the reality hit that this was going to be a longer haul by, you know, late spring, you know, our stakeholders, which are the people you just talked about and the brands and the universities and everything, we just kind of got together because we realized we all had to advocate together to manage our way through this. And we didn't know what we were going into. So we just tried to create one voice. It became pretty unwieldy. And so we had to kind of break off and take it one by one. But the challenge was just trying to advocate at the state level and create a baseline understanding of the responsibility that everybody was bringing to the table. Like, there's no chance that the Blazers or the Timbers or the Thorns or the universities can do something irresponsibly because they would be harmed more than the community would be. And I think getting people to understand the motives and the baseline that they were operating from, it was difficult, but it needed to be done.
We're talking to Jim Etzel, Sport Oregon. Fans back in stadiums, you know, I know everyone's saying they're hopeful, but what's the reality for college football season? Do you think we will see full stadiums, or will it be limited capacity? What's your hunch?
If we keep trending the way we are right now, I think it's going to be full capacity. You know, tomorrow, Timbers, 80%. Thorns the next day, 80%. I think 100% is right around the corner within weeks, if not days. And when that happens, and as long as the virus doesn't take control of us again, I think that trend's going to continue through the fall. I do think that as long as we get a critical percentage of the community vaccinated, indoor is kind of the next step of capacity levels. The reality is once you're over 50%, you might as well be 100%. There's no protecting. There's no way you can social distance or manage traffic through arenas or stadia. So
events, we're starting to see events come back nationally. What's the scene in our state as far as events that are on the horizon?
We got a busy summer ahead of us that I think people are going to, you know, jump on the train because they're anxious to do things. We feel it out there. We're seeing it. There's some fun things coming up in Portland later in the summer that I think will be great to get the community back together again, whether it was the new International Soccer Cup that was just announced with FC Barcelona and Lyon and the Thorns and the Houston Dash. That's going to be a big deal, and that's going to become an annual deal and probably grow. We've been working with the Thorns and also Relevant Sports that's owned by the Ross family, Miami Dolphins, Hard Rock Stadium. They really want to grow this into a 6 and 8 team event. So we're fingers crossed, and Portland is where they want to grow it. So that's going to become a big deal, and it's going to have significant impacts, full houses, I believe. Then you fun deal also going on at Providence Park is Top Golf's coming in. So they're going to be setting up their platforms in the North End. It's going to be the weekend of September 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. which is the same weekend as IndyCar's here. So there's going to be a lot going on in the city. It's going to be really cool. We just met with them yesterday. They just completed their deal with Providence Park and the Timbers and Thorns to bring that in. And then the week after that.
So wait a minute. I can go to Providence Park and play Topgolf, or is this a tournament where Topgolf's like...
No, you can come in and play Topgolf.
I can go and just play Topgolf over there.
Yeah, you know, take as many shots at the Mac Club, knock yourself out, you know, at the other end. But it is, they have a stadium tour where they go to stadiums all around the country. Currently, they're at University of Georgia's football stadium this week in Athens, Georgia. But they're in Wrigley Field. They're in Fenway Park. Providence Park is a place they wanted to come for a couple of years. So they're going to build platforms on the concourse level, just right smack in the middle of the Timbers Army. I think 24 platforms. Wow. And you can rent those by the hour and, you know, compete in this thing. So it's going to be a lot of fun, beers and activities and everything going on in the stadium.
The brand of Portland, we've talked about a lot on this show. I've written about it. You know, everybody wants things to be better. How important is it that you get public-private synergy in trying to solve some of the problems, the big problems that outsiders who have never been here, you know, as I drive around, there's some things that I go, we got to fix this before we can bring an event here. How challenging is that? How important is that to Sport Oregon?
It's critically important. We just can't sit on the sidelines and moan and groan and complain. We've got to collectively roll up our sleeves and try to be part of the solution in the areas that we can, get in our lane, do what we can in that to help our city, help our government leaders, help community organizations that are trying to do good. You know, we have a lot of problems here. I think everybody knows about them. We talked ad nauseum about them for over a year. The reality is a lot of other cities have these same problems. They're a little bit more acute in parts of our city, but also equal critical situations going on in every West Coast market. We got big problems as a country and a community around homelessness and things like that, and addiction and all the opioid stuff. It all adds up to create the environments that we're dealing with right now. You know, we've got a couple extra unique ingredients in our mix, but yeah, we just got to get out there and do it, and we can't go complaining. So we've been very active. We've in some cases organizationally, we've pushed the door open and said we want to be at the table and in the conversations. Other times the door's been opened and we've been pulled in or asked to step in. So that we have not turned those opportunities down. We've made time for that and tried to go in and make what little, you know, impacts we can do. We all got it. It's a collective effort. I mean,
Jim Etzel with us, CEO Sport Oregon. Father's Day weekend, I want to talk about Joe Etzel. Yeah. Tell me about Dad. What was it like in that household? And, you know, what Dad, I mean, just a legend.
Yeah, you and I have talked about, you know, with your dad in baseball and, you know, growing up the son of a coach and at the ballpark and our whole family, just that was our world.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody in our family, mom, sisters, brothers, dad, we all had our duties come game day, especially if we were hosting the game out at University of Portland, whether it was, you know, operating the concession stands, taking the tickets, running the press box, doing the PA announcing, dragging in the field, cutting the grass, you name it, chalking it. We were multi-tool players, all of us in our family. And to me, it was just, I look back and I always felt like when I was a kid, I was lucky. I had built-in heroes, the guys on the team, the athletes that I got to grow up from when I was, you know, first can remember in Howard Hall and out on the bluff at the university, going to Scavone Field in Southeast Portland, you know, Westmoreland. I mean, I think that was like four nights a week, every night during summer. I remember if we had the 5 o'clock game or the 8 o'clock game, and there's a guy named John Narrow in the press box, and Mr. O'Neill ran the concessions, and it was just, we had hot box games behind the park, and you play in the bullpen and bat boy, and it was just, you know, it was awesome. Chase a foul ball, you got a free snow cone, you know.
Yeah.
It was lots of incentives.
There's so much joy in sports. Like I talked about this earlier in the week that, like, you know, sometimes we get consumed with NCAA investigation or what's gone wrong with the Pac-12. But the truth is, like, we all gravitate towards sports because there's joy in it. Like, you were really lucky as a kid to be around it, and you have now made a profession out of it. You got to look at Dad and tip your cap there.
Yeah, I got lucky. I mean, my dad's my hero. My mom too. You know, my dad always says he married the right woman. You know, and he did. And she was an awesome mom, but she was also an awesome I hate to phrase it this way, but coach's wife. I mean, those kids on the team were her kids too. She would sew the tears in the jerseys or in the pants or the baseball uniforms, sew the patches on. I mean, all those things, the names on the back of the jersey. She'd have her sewing machine set up in the bottom, but it was part, that was her team too. So she felt she, you know, and she didn't do it because she was asked. She just wanted to do it, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, getting into the sport, it's funny. I was on the phone with Bill Krueger for about an hour, the former Mariner and Root broadcaster, current Root broadcaster. And you know, I remember writing a report in grade school about heroes, and I did a profile on him. And it's funny because he wasn't that much older than me, but he seemed like it.
Yeah.
You know, and he played basketball and baseball out there. Pat Casey was another one, Rick Rabio, you know, Darwin Cook. I mean, those are guys that, like, I worshiped before that, like guys like Gary Strawn and stuff. And I just think it was the it was just all built in for me. I had all these people that were, you know, that I could look up to.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. And I think, like, I look at myself hosting a radio show, and I just know it probably, if I dig deep, it's born of my dad playing professional baseball, us as a family. After dinner, we took a ball and a bat and a glove. We went out to the park, and we hit balls. You know, like,
totally.
That's what we did. And then, you know, now I developed a passion for it. So I've been thinking about that a lot as Father's Day weekend approaches. Biggest event that you're looking forward to that we don't already have? Like, what can Portland or the state of Oregon get that's way down the road?
Well, I'm going to get back in the batter's box and take the cut again on the women's Final Four in about 18 to 24 months. And that's way down the road at my age right now, but it's probably, you know, 28, 29, 30, 31 at the earliest in the cycle now. But we're going to go after it hard. NBA All-Star Game, I think, you know, we're due. We have to get some things right in our community before we go after that. Those are two big ones that we actually can have some control about going and getting.
Yeah. Jim Edsel, thank you. Thank you for popping into the studio. I appreciate you. Appreciate what you're doing for the state. And happy Father's Day to your entire family and dad and everybody. So I just appreciate what you guys are doing and the contributions you've made to the sports community in this state.
Appreciate everything you do to support it.
Leave it here. The show's going to get squirrely and funny coming up next. Friday shows are always fast-moving, and they're funny. Great guest today. I want to thank bodybuilder Jeremy, who joined us in hour number one. He's on a mission. You want to be inspired? Grab the podcast and listen to it. It's already posted and available. Jim Edsel, CEO of Sport Oregon, joined us as well. Want to know what's going on in this state when it comes to sports? Edsel's got it, and he was terrific just a few minutes ago here on the BFT. In the meantime, I want you to tell me which of the following funny sports clips and stories is the funniest. You can tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT, or just discuss amongst yourself if you're nowhere near Twitter. All right, here it goes. First of all, Naomi Osaka is pulled out of Wimbledon. She has complained in part at how dumb the news conferences are in the tennis world because sometimes reporters ask dumb questions. Here's comedian Brian Regan talking about reporters who ask dumb questions. I couldn't help but laugh when I heard this.
I like when a sport ends with a best of seven series, you know? Then I get to hear my favorite sports reporter question. Would you consider this a must-win game? And they always feel like they have to say yes. Yeah, we want to win it. It's very important. You know, have momentum and, you know, we have our uniforms on anyway. Might as well try. They turn all these lights on. Might as well put some effort into this. But it's not always the right answer, man. It's a math question. I wish I would answer that honestly. It's a best of seven. You're down one game to nothing. Would you consider this a must-win game? No. No, we can lose tonight. We can lose tomorrow night, too. We don't want to, but that wasn't your question.
I could not help but laugh when I heard that. We've all asked dumb questions, but most of us had not asked a dumb question while holding a microphone and interviewing somebody who's well aware that you're asking a dumb question. All right, that's clip number one. Do we stop there? Do we just say that's the funniest clip? I don't think so. Here's Sebastian Maniscalco, one of my favorites, talking about Italians, which he often does.
Italians, we don't play basketball. When's the last time you put an NBA game on and said, take a shot, Nunzio? It doesn't hit. Put in Carmine for the three. No. Italians, what do? Cement, nice cement driveway. Meatball sandwich, give us a church, we'll paint the whole ceiling. I mean...
Take a shot, Nunzio. I love that from Maniscalco. Okay, that's option two. Do you think Sebastian Maniscalco funnier than Brian Regan? Or not funnier than Brian Regan? All right, my third clip, Jim Gaffigan talking about horse racing. I promised you on this Friday we'd have some fun.
We are a country that loves to bet on horses. Every spring we track the three races of the Triple Crown. And every spring I always have the same thought. We're still doing this? Is Woodrow Wilson president? But people love the Triple Crown. The Kentucky Derby, where people bet on horses while they're dressed like characters from Gone with the Wind. It's like prom for gamblers.
Do you like my hat? I'm living in my sister's garage. Because I have a debilitating gambling addiction. Shall we have another mint julep?
I love that. It's like prom for gamblers. And he's so right about sort of, if you've ever been to a horse race, one of the Triple Crown races, everybody takes themselves so seriously at the track, especially at the Kentucky Derby. That's good stuff. All right, so we've got Brian Regan talking about dumb questions in the news conference. We've got Sebastian Maniscalco talking about why you never see Italians on the basketball court. And you've got Jim Gaffigan talking about horse racing. I'm going to give you a fourth option here, not by a comedian, but by a football coach. Nebraska coach Scott Frost, while he was an assistant in Oregon, showed up at the Broyles Award ceremony. He's getting the award for the best assistant coach in the country. And he told a joke as in his opening remarks having to do with Marcus Mariota. I love the timing. I love the sharp wit. I love the writing here. Scott Frost might just take the cake. You be the judge.
Quick story about Marcus Mariota. You know, people ask me about him all the time, and he's such a great player, but his best attribute is how quick-witted he is. People don't know this, but his freshman year, he worked at a grocery store in town to kind of pay the extra bills. And he was at the register one day, and this great big woman comes in, and she said, I'd like to buy a half a head of lettuce. And he kind of looked at her funny, said, we don't sell half heads, only whole heads. And she got all mad. And so he walked into the back to ask the manager what he should do. And he said, hey, I got this great big fat woman out here that wants to buy a half a head of lettuce. What should I do? And he didn't know it, but the woman had followed him back there. So he looks over his shoulder and he sees her standing there. And he said, and this lady wants to buy the other half. So that's how quick-witted he is. And the manager told him afterwards, the manager said, that was impressive. I can't believe you could think that quickly on your feet. And he goes, that was nothing. I'm used to dealing with stuff like that. He goes, I'm from Honolulu. If there's two things we have in Honolulu, it's great football and fat women. And the manager said, my wife's from Honolulu. And he said, well, what position does she play?
I love that. It never gets old. Scott Frost, well done. Anytime you can open your remarks at an awards banquet with a joke like that, you're winning. You tell me on Twitter, though, who did it best? Scott Frost? Was he the funniest? Was it Sebastian Maniscalco on Italians? Was it Brian Regan talking about bad questions in the news conference? Jim Gaffigan talking about the archaic nature of horse racing? You be the judge. Tweet at me at JohnConzanoBFT. Tell me what you found funniest. I like them all. I like them all because it's Friday. I want to laugh. I want to have sports involved in it. That's why you come to this show in part. I can remember, though, the news conference bit made me think about an NBA Finals news conference that I covered years and years and years ago. Pistons were playing Spurs in the NBA Finals. It was the Ben Wallace, Tayshaun Prince, Rasheed Wallace Pistons against Tim Duncan and the Spurs, Manu Ginobili, of course, Tony Parker, Greg Popovich. And I'll never forget in the post-game news conference, They hand the microphone out, and for those of you who have tuned into a news conference, you know how ridiculous it is. They ask you as a reporter to state your name and your affiliation. And Chauncey Billups was up on the podium, and I'll never forget, I believe it was Greg Beauchamp of the Associated Press, who was sitting a few seats from me in a packed news conference, who was handed the microphone. And instead of saying, Greg Beauchamp, Associated Press, and asking his question, for some inexplicable reason, he took the microphone and he said, Greg Beauchamp, ESPN. Now, this was at a time when ESPN was really on the rise. And it was a time when, like, everybody kind of looked at him like, you don't work for ESPN. But it became evident in that little moment that Greg Beauchamp was probably guilty of doing what a lot of young reporters had been doing, probably practicing in front of a mirror, probably announcing themselves, I'm Joe McGee, ESPN, because you had seen it numerous times. Or maybe he just saw it so many times on ESPN, he repeated it. But for whatever reason, when he said it, the room broke up. Billups broke up. Greg Beauchamp got so embarrassed, like he couldn't even continue to answer the question. I can remember Chauncey Billups looking at him going, do we need to come back to you? Because Beauchamp could not ask a question. I always think about that in a news conference setting. And look, I'm somebody, I don't like to ask questions in a news conference setting. Not because I'm shy, I'm not. But because I know that those news conferences are made for TV. If I ask a good question, I get a good answer in that news conference, it's being broadcast everywhere. I'm with Naomi Osaka. Like, I get it. Like, the beat reporter needs a news conference. Needs it. Needs to get the soundbite. Needs to get the quote. Needs to get back to the locker room or back to the press row and away from the locker room and start writing. But as a columnist, I don't want to put my good stuff out there and ask it in front of everybody. In the same way that as a starting pitcher, you don't want to throw your good stuff in the bullpen. Final segment coming up. You've got the bald-faced truth statewide. I want you to leave it right here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.